Episode number 2, and we're rolling. And we've got a very, very special guest here today. But before we get into him, we've got a little mentions to do. We've got a little shout out to do. We've got a sponsorship. And it's actually not an ordinary sponsor. It's none of this Mobile Legends bullshit or one of these games. It's actually something legitimate, something amazing, something beautiful. It's Kura Kura Beer. As you can see over here, two amazing cans. We've got the Island Pale Ale, which is delicioso. We've got the Lager, which is another amazing beer. My guests will actually confirm how good the beer is, because he is...
Not that I've drunk too many of them, but...
We'll get into you in a minute, mate. Hold on. But yeah, quick little shout out to Kura Kura Beer. Thank you so much for sponsoring this episode. If you want one of the freshest and best beers in Bali, everything's going to be in the description. The links to their website, the links to their Instagram. And if you have the code Kaizai, or if you use the code Kaizai, you actually get 10% off all beer orders through the website. It's only deliveries in Bali at the moment, but use the code Kaizai. 10% off all the beer cans. And we're not actually done there. If you want a brewery tour, you don't get 10% off. You don't get 15% off. You actually get 20% off with the code Kaizai.
It's big.
So if you want a tour with free flow beer for the whole day, a lovely barbecue by a private chef of the Beerus Brewery, you know where to go. Check all the links in the description. Thank you so much to Kura Kura Beer. Moving on, we're actually on Spotify as well now. So if you're in the gym, if you're skiing, if you're playing tennis, if you're on a run and you want to listen to the best podcast in Indonesia, follow us on Spotify. As well as Buzzsprout, but I think that's just links, but Spotify. Check us out there, follow us there. And I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who's commented, liked, showed us love so far on the podcast. You're placing my heart. Thank you so much. Terima kasih banyak. And what else we got to say before moving into our guest here? I think that's it. I think we've run through everything. Oh no, Merry Christmas to all of you.
Merry Christmas.
And Happy New Year's, by the way, because this will be aired and will be edited and will be posted out live when it is 2021. So... Merry cool. Christmas. Happy New Year to everyone. Hope 2021 is treating you better than 2020 did. That won't be too hard to do, honestly. But let's get into it. Very, very special guest today. Not only just a guest here, but a very, very good friend of mine, Mr. George Benson.
It's nice for you to say something nice about me for once. Plus one, Kai.
Plus one for you, Mr. George. Welcome on the podcast, mate. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
So just quick introduction on who you are, what you do. Just so the viewers know, you know, I mean, where you're from, how what you do, basically, just because if there's someone watching this and they have an idea, maybe they don't know who we are. I don't know who they are, but
it's quite funny. I look at the camera and I say, Kai and I have a very funny relationship. You know, like those friends where it doesn't matter what's going on, like you just look and you just laugh. So like, as much as I'd like this to be like a really good civilized chat, it's difficult. I need to ease my way into it.
Oh, wait, I know something that can help you out, actually. Fresh Kura Kura beer.
It's a good idea, bro.
How about we get
it's
into
very
it?
Good idea.
It's very kind of you to give me two of my favorites, too. Look nice at little, rich, hang on, nice next little, to the mic.
Oof, look at that.
That's nice. Cheers, little bit mate. Of froth out the top. Cheers to that. Mm. Genuinely though, like delicious. I know obviously it's not the guest's job to talk about the sponsor, but this is actually my favorite beer here.
Okay.
So I'm glad that this is the sponsor of this podcast.
Amazing. Shout out to Kura Kura again, Kaizai. Code in the description. Go follow. You know all that good shit. So
absolutely.
Into you, Mr. Benson. Quick introduction. Who you are, what you do.
Yeah. It's very weird with these things because, like, even though I know who I am and I've been alive for 26 years and I know my name's George Benson, like, when someone puts you on the spot, it's like, tell me a bit about yourself.
Yeah,
100%. Like, oh, God.
You get to a little.
What do I say? What do I say? No, I'm mainly been known as a YouTuber for the last 9 years. Actually, was my anniversary on Boxing Day for my first ever YouTube video. Yeah, I'd say, not quite like OG.
Oh, come on, mate. You're an OG.
But
I'll
in terms
that.
Of like how many people there are doing it now, like OG.
I'll give you the OG status, man. Come on.
I'll take it.
Don't be so harsh on yourself.
Yeah. Been doing like that kind of stuff now for 9 years. Bit of Instagram here and there. Like to talk about football on Twitter quite a lot. Like living in Bali. Been here now for nearly 4 years on and off.
Yeah.
That's pretty much me, man. Yeah.
So basically he's just a YouTuber. Not just a YouTuber. A very good YouTuber, actually. With multiple channels, not just one. You got a lot of channels. They're all doing bits. You're focusing mainly now on one, which is focused around Chelsea Football Club.
Yeah.
Are truly the Chels.
That's where
that's
another
similarity we have.
Initially, Chelsea
it's
fans.
The love for Chelsea Football Club. But yeah, let's move into something. The first time we met, let's talk about that. And what brought you to Bali?
First time.
So
we're gonna
start off with that. Who you are and how our relationship basically.
Yeah.
So you moved to Bali how long ago?
I moved here officially. I decided I was going to stay here back in April.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think a lot of people, particularly now people that we know here, both of us, had like a phase of time where they would come here and spend a couple of months here.
Yeah.
It's a very like expat-driven place and people 100%. Come here for like an extended holiday.
Exactly.
You know, you can take your, if you're working online, it's a very good place to be, Bali.
Yeah.
So for me, I've been coming here on and off since 2017. And the first time I came was like a very sporadic decision. One day, one of my friends said to me, I'm going to Bali next week. You want to come? Looked at the calendar, had nothing to do. At the time, was doing travel videos. Uh-huh. He was a travel video maker as well. So I just thought, what a great idea.
What an opportunity. That's the thing. Yeah. Spontaneous events like that are the best. It always ends up in the best results. Yeah, so now you're a resident here in Bali. He's living here.
Not officially.
Working on it. But he is legal. But yeah, so you've been here for 3 years now on and off.
Yeah, it'll be four years at the end of next month.
Yeah, and would you say that's the best decision you've made in your life so far? One of, not maybe the best, but one of?
I think it was like, Bali's the kind of place where if you invest yourself into the environment that it is, you can actually receive so much more for yourself than I think any other place I've ever been.
That's a very good, how do you say that? Analytic?
Analysis. I don't know if it's an analysis. It's an analogy, but it's like...
You get a lot of people that come here and they don't respect the island. So what you put into the island will give you back three times back in better, like for that, like 100%.
And I think the key thing for anybody who's never been here or wants to come here is that there is anything you can imagine that you can do here, you can actually do it.
100%.
You know, so like if you want to come here and party and that's what your motive is, then you can do that.
The first time I met you and we actually had a good chat, we were getting close, I said to you, mate, like, it's very easy to get lost here.
Yeah.
And you've taken that like on your shoulder and you've done it very well, in my opinion. You've balanced the perfect workflow and the perfect enjoyment of your life here.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy to just go off the rails and party. Not in a bad way, but just not being productive.
Yeah.
As productive as a scene is here, it's very easy to go left, you know?
I did track. That though. I did do like the crazy parties.
You kind of have to though to realize, accident. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You kind of have to. But you've done a good job at balancing it, I must say. Compared to a lot of other people that's come here and, you know, they've not really respected it like they should have. And it's the island shown what it can do if you don't respect it.
Yeah. But I think it's the same with anything, you know, when you give somebody like the full freedom to be like, well, I can go and like have a beer for £1 at the bar and I can have 10 of them. And it's like not going to eat away at my holiday budget or my living budget. It's like, okay, you can get when there's a beautiful sunset, like every night is set up to derail you. But it's also so easily available to put you on a track of concentration, focus, drive, you know?
Exactly. And I think determination.
Yeah. And I think with Bali, like, that's the main place that I've ever been to that has kind of allowed me to see this. Mm-hmm. You know, I can have this crazy part of my life. I can have this work part of my life. I can meet really cool, interesting people like yourself.
Yeah, thank you.
And then you know, those connections lead to great conversations. It leads to development, you know?
Opportunity.
And I think, yeah. People look at Bali sometimes and they think, oh, you're going to Bali to find yourself, like, you're going to come back all spiritual and all this stuff. And the thing is, like, I used to think I didn't understand spirituality. I didn't understand that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But it is, that's another thing that is so, it's relevant here, you know?
And it's open.
Yeah.
It's a part of everyday life.
Yeah. Everywhere you go, you can meet somebody who can open your eyes to something.
Exactly.
I think that's why I chose to live here, you know, because it's, the flow here is like never ending and it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
I love it.
I couldn't agree with you more, mate. 100%. So that moves us on to basically the craziest memory so far that you've lived, that you've like occurred, let's say, in Bali.
Crazy.
It could be good. It could be bad. It's whatever comes to your head first. Something crazy that's happened to you and you've been like, you know what? Blimey.
I think like, no, it really does tie back into what we just said. Like, I had a bike accident in March 2017. No, 2018. 2018. It's all a bit of a blur. And that was a really bad one. Like, I hit a brick wall, smashed my head open, smashed everything, like face, arms, legs, couldn't walk, couldn't do this, couldn't do that. And that was all down to my like irrational stupidity.
Yeah. And when was this?
2018, March.
Okay.
March.
So a year in.
Yeah, literally a year.
I feel like everyone that's moved to Bali goes through that crash. There's always that one crash that happens. Because if you're not familiar with Bali, it's motorbikes everywhere. It's cars. It's not like the western side of the world where, you know, it's quite formal on the roads. It's basically a free-for-all.
Yeah.
So if you know what you're doing, you're safe. But if you don't, there's idiots on the road. You can, like...
Yeah.
A lot of people die, let's say, like, for the viewers, I don't know what's the road situation like in Bali. But yeah, so I feel like everyone that's moved here or comes here does go through that like pinnacle crash where it's like, you know what, I need to like actually not take the piss about the road and like it's a serious thing. I had a friend unfortunately pass away from that like at a young age, so that for me was just an eye opener.
Yeah.
And like Yeah, but it's not a good thing. But if you're aware and you do your right thing, you wear your helmet always, you're good.
I honestly think. You've got to take it seriously. Yeah. And for me, I don't think I did until that moment. I was like, just like we were just talking about, when you get into like these bad habits, it's very easy to continue with them because it's fun. And it's like...
Exactly. It's the last thing you think of. You're not getting on the bike thinking like, oh, I'm going to crash. Otherwise, you wouldn't be driving the bike.
If that's what you think, you never get one. You just take a car everywhere. Like, immediately.
Driving a car here is a nightmare as well. You're stuck on...
Takes forever.
To get to A to B for on a bike would be like 2 minutes. On a fucking car, it'll be like 45 an hour. So that's why cars are kind of avoided here. Yeah, it is a good thing to have, though.
Yeah.
Nights out, let's say a car is not bad.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that experience in itself kind of... It was the first time in my life I've ever felt like I could and should have died.
Yeah, which see, is that's like, what I was trying to get at with the question. Like, so, that type of memory that's got you like, fuck.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Would you say it's stuck with you for the rest of your life?
This memory, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. Absolutely, because I've never been that, like, scared and had no idea what was going on. Like, I was completely concussed.
Do you remember what happened?
To an extent. I skidded on a load of wet sand and hit a brick wall, wasn't wearing my helmet. Head first, knocked out. Friend came and found me 45 minutes later because I hadn't got home. But I had a bleed on my brain, went and had scans. I could see like the scan of my brain. And when you see this big light in the middle of your brain, it's not like, oh, look how smart you are. The light's turned on. Your brain is bleeding. Like,
yeah, and that is not good at all.
This is not good. It's very serious. Like,
anything to do with your brain and that is not good.
So that was like a wake-up call for everything, you know? Like... How fortunate I am to have family and friends who care about me, who are calling me every 5 minutes, worried sick about what I've done. It made me like appreciate my environment more.
100%.
I started like, and the journey that I took was so stupid. It was a 30-second bike journey that could have been walked in 5 minutes.
You see, that's the thing.
You know?
These accidents tend to happen in scenarios where you least expect them.
Yeah.
Like some, like you said, you could have easily walked there. But you decide to take your bike. And you think these big accidents are happening when you're driving from like the north of the Bali to the south in these long distance journeys.
On the big roads.
Never like that. Well, it is. But it's 80% of the time from A to B, from like your house to the shop, let's say.
Yeah.
When you least expect it.
Yeah, no, right, I think
enough
interesting...
about bike crashes, I think.
It can get into a dark little rabbit hole, this video, you know, this episode.
So we've established, wear your helmet. You've learned your lesson, which is good.
Biggest one for me for like awareness. But I think in terms of like good memories, I collect them all together and say this year. You know,
Perfect.
I've been here during COVID. You know, like the majority of tourism has left the island. It was me and maybe a couple 10,000 others. And we've kind of got to experience what Bali is like for someone like you, Kai, who has grown up here, who lives here.
It's a completely different thing, huh?
Totally different.
How much better is it?
It's incredible. It's amazing.
Business wise, no.
Which
is not a good thing.
But socially, in terms of the memories that have been created like that, it's been incredible. Yeah, you know, like the depth of friendship you can build when you're somewhere like this, where whether you're here to work or not, but social is still a very key element of living here.
100%.
So, like, I think the depths of some of the friendships I've created this year for people that I've known for like maybe 9-10 months.
Will last a lifetime. I can say the same
absolutely.
Thing, honestly. 100%. It's just been an overall great year for social life.
Yeah.
Like, when you see the rest of the world going through all this shambolic fucking... I don't even know what to call it, man. You can only be grateful. And to have what we've had this year, we've got to be grateful and have gratitude and say, you know what? We are lucky.
So
we are
lucky. Very lucky. And people don't really understand.
No, they don't.
Like, unless you're... There's only so much we can say, like, to these microphones and to one another. It doesn't, like...
It doesn't...
The
you
little
can't put
bits
it on paper.
That people don't see, it's you can't explain how good it's been actually.
You can't.
And if you sometimes feel bad because it's like, well, everyone everywhere is complaining, and like we can still go to the bar, we can still go to beach clubs, we can still hang out at each other's houses, villas, like madness, bro.
Madness. We are a little island away from the rest of the world, I must say. It is a little hack. It is a little life hack, that's for sure. All right, so switching lanes here, moving into
switching lanes.
Content driven.
Oh,
stuff.
Okay.
Something you're very good at, I must say. So, what content did you start with and how did it change over time?
Yeah.
And what was the process for you about learning and basically growing and like becoming a content creator, which you really like doing stuff you really enjoy? Because I'm sure when you start doing content, majority of the time, it doesn't stay the same for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
You're constantly growing, you're constantly evolving, and your content is So what would you say is, what content did you start with, and how has it evolved to what it is now? Through, like, is it through you finding happiness in your content? Is it you finding views? Is it just you doing overall what you enjoy?
Yeah.
How did the process change from when you started to what you're doing now?
I think taking what you said about switching lanes, let's just imagine, like, it's good that this is filmed so that we can see this. Like, imagine there's two lanes that we're discussing right now. Uh-huh. Like, two fingers, two horses running in a straight line.
Yeah.
When you're a kid and you're a boy and you're learning the world, you love certain things and you want to do more of it and more of it and more of it. And then as you get a little bit older, you then start to realize that actually there's other things that are important. Studying,
yeah.
Like, I don't know, learning to write properly, reading or yeah. doing something else. And then when you get into adulthood, you start to forget what it's like to be in love with everything that you do when you're a boy and you're a kid.
You kind of, it's opposite. When you're yeah. young, you're trying to be like, I want to be an adult, and you forget how to be yeah, a kid, yeah. really. And then when you're an adult, you're like, fuck, I want to be doing that
exactly.
what a kid's
doing. Exactly, but it's very important, and I think a lot of people don't either know about this or don't want to know about this, but to be in touch with, like, your childlike state is key. Oh, to key. Enjoying your
it's
life forever is an absolute yep. key thing. I'm only 26, but I know that's going to be what I talk about when I'm 50.
Exactly.
But going back to the content thing, like, when I started it, I was in a transitional phase between being like a teenager, like old boy, who then knew I had responsibility to find
a job.
How old
were you when you started doing YouTube?
17.
17, all right.
So it was like uni time. Yeah. You know, I'm either going to go exactly. and study and get a degree and get a job and work.
Traditional route in life.
Yeah, yeah.
I say.
Or give something else a go. And for me, like, YouTube, when I started it, was just me doing that boy-like fun.
Yeah.
Look how much fun I'm having stuff. Like,
which is a good thing. That's how you yeah, should yeah. start, because it's what you're enjoying, and people can see that, as we spoke in the last episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's very key to do that, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
No, that's how I really got into it. I watched people's content mm-hmm. and realized how much I enjoyed watching it. So I was like, hang on a minute. Like, I'm not really doing very much
yeah.
with myself. Like, I play a bit of tennis, play a bit of football, study a little bit, but I don't care about it. Like, I don't care about business management. Like, mm-hmm. I'm doing it because I feel like I should.
You should, yeah.
So I started making these videos, not even knowing if it was going to go anywhere, no real expectations of it. But, like, after about a year, I think I went to my first convention, YouTube convention. Uh-huh. And when I got there and I saw, like, all of these people that I've been watching, and I saw that they're actually real people, they're not just behind a screen and a keyboard,
that
like, making games.
I'm
like, hang on a minute, like, if I really put my mind to this, I'm getting better. Like, I'm not great.
I'm not any different to them.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
better,
I'm
if
just
anything.
An average guy like, who's enjoying this so flipping much. And if I really put my time and energy into this, it can become something, you know? Yeah. Like, I could be the one coming to these conventions and people are coming up to me the same way I'm coming up to these people, you know?
That's crazy, though. Yeah. You see that, and then you actually accomplished it. So hats off to you, man, for doing that.
Yeah, like, it started off with gaming, which is, I guess, very typical for a lot of teenage boys in 100%. The world. Like, we all sit there in our rooms, like, playing video games. We're 17 years old.
But look at the gaming industry now. It's insane to see what, like, industries
massive.
Have done, like 100 Thieves, FaZe Clan, like,
They're
the top industries in the world, I have to say now. If you see the brand endorsements and what FaZe Clan are doing as a movement and as a company, it is amazing. To see what a friend group started off, like you said, just in their room fucking playing games as you do.
Yeah.
But the only difference is turning it on and speaking to a live audience through Twitch or through YouTube Live or through whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
To see where that's brought them in the world and the impact they have on our society is insane.
Yeah. I think the most interesting thing is when I started it, it was still very new.
Yeah.
There wasn't really people building and forging, like, mainstream careers from it. Like, you look at some examples now, people like maybe KSI, The Sidemen. These guys went from doing exactly what I started doing and everyone started doing to becoming, like, household names now, particularly in the UK and pretty much all over the world. And I think for me, it was more of a case of when I was growing up, I wanted to be a football commentator. So I knew that if I got to where I wanted to be when I was a child, I would have ended up being on camera or behind a microphone like
this.
So
you already
knew
this was the route I needed to
That's
go, and
I
it could
really
end
wanted
up there.
To do.
Man, you still could do it. I'll be honest with you.
I'm not just
saying that.
The crazy diversion, but, like, I don't even think I'd want to do that more than what I'm doing now.
Because you're enjoying it.
Because
that much.
The best thing about how my career's gone in those 9 years is the older I've got and the more I've gone into it, the more freedom I've got.
Yeah.
So, like, when I went from gaming and comedy, my interest for a consumer was travel. So when I was doing these gaming videos, I'm watching
traveling
because so I didn't want to just be gaming. I had to have another interest because that's how I am. I get bored very easily. I change my focus.
Oh, I'm exactly like you, mate.
All the time.
I start a project, I get to the top of it, and I'm like, you know what, next.
Next one.
And
next
I'm going to get to the top of that one, and I'm like, next one. Instead of holding that project and elevating, because you can always get better. You get to the top, but you're not really at the top, are you? You're just at the top of that sector. And
yeah,
then you get to the next
sector,
and you can go to the top of that one.
Jump into another lane.
Going. Exactly.
Let's go. I like the thing. But no, like from there, it went to... I got so bored of seeing these people going out and living their lives and having fun, traveling the world, seeing places that I've watched on National Geographic. And then again, it was like light bulb moment. I can do that now. I've got freedom financially because I've made enough money to be able to book flights, hotels now. So let's go do this. And then like, that's when I first ended up coming here.
Yeah.
Because it was like, well, it makes total sense.
Number one spot to travel.
Yeah, it's like one of the most desired places to come to. Back in 2017, it was like... There were people making videos here, but it was still like
new. It wasn't anything high end. It wasn't anything like top notch. It was just these random people that would call themselves vloggers, but not really at that element of making top quality videos and actually travel videos. But now you get a lot more of them. There isn't that many, I think, as there should be. Because if you think about it, like the name Bali has is this exotic getaway place where you come and you... take pictures with monkeys and fucking climb mountains and, you know.
Yeah, and then we went to Flores and did like all of that stuff, you know.
Oh, that's amazing.
A couple of my videos didn't go viral. They did very well, but my friend who came here, so it was very different. Like, I did daily vlog style videos. So we went for 4 days. I did 4 videos.
Yeah.
He did one from the whole trip.
And you could see what...
Yeah, but it was like, his went viral. He's got nearly 1 million views.
Yeah.
But the difference... in the quality of the content was just the depth of the perspective.
Yeah.
So like, I went into a lot of detail every day.
Every day.
And that drains did more
you.
Of like
when
a,
you daily vlog, I haven't done it myself, but just from hearing like how it is, it's not easy.
Yeah. I did it for 2 years and I think I missed 3 days. And that's because it was over Christmas 1 year.
Yeah.
I was so sick. Of it. Like, I didn't even get out of bed really on Christmas Day. So I was just like, well, I mean, there's only so much of this flipping duvet cover you're going to want to see, let alone anything else, you know? So... yeah, in terms of like the growth of me as a creator, I feel like it's always been about focusing on what makes me excited every day. Like, there's a mosquito on my nose. Did you order him? Did you send him over it?
It's a special guest, mate.
Special guest, like Derek the plant, everybody. This
we
is
got
my
a new
agent.
Addition to the little studio here.
Agent Derek, making sure he doesn't ask me any dodgy questions. No, I think it's, for me, even now, like I'm doing the football channel, George Benson football channel.
I think you, with that, with your football, have really found a very, very clean avenue with something you have very good knowledge about. You're spoken very well about. You've have, like I said, knowledge, and you just overall, I think you found your lane in that football.
Yeah.
And that could, like you said, lead to being a commentator, I think. But if you don't want to do that anymore, like...
And I think it complements my personality the most.
Yeah, 100%.
Like we've already discussed, like I'm very much, I get so bored. And it's with everything in life. Like I need to be stimulated all the time.
And football's like this, you know? It's not the same thing.
Nah, but bro, like, I disagree. Like for me, the only thing that stimulates me, no matter whether it's good, bad,
football.
Is football.
Yeah.
Like I know, to the day I die, it will be my number one love.
Yeah.
My number one passion. It will never go unless COVID kills it again,
which it could
and it might be about to again, but like I know creatively there
hashtag
is no
the
limit to what I can
in.
Do yeah hashtag get the fans
hashtag get the fans
actually no because then I might have to leave and go home. Maybe not. Look, keep
hey,
them
that's
out.
Another journey that would be quite good.
Yeah, it would be fun. But I think for me it's like I want to work in football for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
100%. Like doing something along these lines.
Yeah.
Whether it's
we'll
on,
get more into that later on.
Yeah, whether it's TV or YouTube or the next YouTube, like I know that's what I want to be doing. Yeah. At least for now. It might change, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
You know?
It's your religion. Football
is
your religion.
It's
mine as well, to be honest with you. Right, so we've spoken about your content and how it's changed. So would you say as a graph, basically, this would be your content life and your career? It's basically going up. Positively.
Depends what we mean. Like in terms
it's
of
constant
like,
growth, which is good.
Yeah. Like in terms of my definition of what growth and success is, yes.
Yeah.
because I'm keeping on a steady track of like doing whatever I want, which is my lifestyle. Yeah. Every day for the last 6 years has been I get up and do whatever
you're
I want.
You're not relying on the big man to be like, this
yeah,
is what you're
no one's
doing
telling me
to
what
five.
To do.
Yeah.
It's me and me only, yeah. You know? So people like sometimes define success online as like the number of views. I purely see that as a vanity metric.
Yeah.
You know, I know and I've spoken to many people who are very successful in terms of these metrics, these numbers, but they wish they were doing
something else. Yeah,
like
exactly.
When I was doing travel videos and they were still gaming and they were getting like 50 million views a month and I'm here with like a million views a month making 50 times less money, they're saying, God, I wish I was doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm like,
exactly.
Well,
it's happiness at the end of the day.
That's what the most important thing is, you know? We can all chase the bag. We can all chase like these numbers to make us feel better.
But if you
or,
turn off that camera and you don't feel it,
yeah,
it's completely
like,
worthless.
It's so underestimated and underappreciated how vital that is, you know?
I couldn't agree more, 100%. Yeah. So moving on swiftly. Who would you say are your idols and people who influence you on a daily basis?
Oh, my idols. I actually think my friends. I know it's a very cliche answer,
that's
but like...
That's really not a cliche answer. A cliche answer, I don't know, would be like, I don't know, Ronaldo or someone bullshit
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, no, I think the people that I'm with all the time, like... Well, you know my housemates, you know... Like, even you, bro. Like, all of my friends around me right now, and even some of my really good friends back home who, like, call me and, like, see what I'm up to and I see what they're doing. I'm
honestly,
like,
sorry to interrupt, but I just have to say this because it's very key. It's you are only as good as the people you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
And I give this quote... that I actually think is very, very, very interesting is show me your friends and I'll tell you your future.
It's a good one because I think it's key too. You know, like, I think you can, because I've been in those places where I've been like with one person, not really seeing my friends very much. And then I feel like creatively I'm drained, mentally I'm drained, physically I'm drained.
The human nature is we want to impress people. We want to impress the people around us. That's just who we are. Like it is. We do things to get a laugh out of people or to be like, okay, I want to impress this girl. I want to impress this guy. That's who we are. So if you surround yourself with people who are always building you forward and are like, okay, you know what? I think you should do this with constructive criticism and actually the truth instead of people that are doing the complete opposite.
Yeah.
That can drain you. That can make you feel like shit. That can make you unmotivated. So if you surround yourself with people that are actually doing better things than you, who actually have goals, who actually are doing good things, doing successful things, mate, you are only going to get better and grow every day.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the good balance here in Bali in particular is you have like, for example, you're younger than me.
Yeah.
I'm like in the middle and then like, I'll just throw a name out there as like another really good friend of mine, Swen, for example. Yeah. He's a bit older than me. So like you get that balance, you know, you get like me and you talk about like serious stuff.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we're now working together.
Exactly.
You see how
all
of that comes together?
It's a complete spectrum.
You know?
You know what I mean?
And when you've got that from people that are a bit younger... a little bit older and also your age is the best recipe for like fluidity
100%.
In life I think you can possibly get.
Yep.
So like, I won't even give like another answer. I think it's just literally the people around me.
Good answer, mate. Another good answer.
Oh, I'm doing all right, am I? This is good.
Green
ticks
for Mr. George Benson so far.
Plus five.
Okay, moving on to Chelsea.
Oh.
Because that is... as long
do we
don't really
to?
Want to talk about it right now considering the last two results, but it is our Chelsea. We do love Chelsea.
Yeah.
So we do have the love for the same club. How did you go supporting Chelsea the first time? Is this something from your parents or is it something at a young age you're like, you know what? I like this club.
Yeah, no, it's my old man for sure. Yeah. Like before I was born, he was going home and away, going everywhere, doing things I don't even really want to know about probably. and there was only ever going to be one club.
Yeah,
100%. You know, like,
and there only is one club. It's Chelsea Football Club.
It's weird. My nan liked Wolves.
That's not a bad
for
club
no reason
like.
Whatsoever.
Wolverhampton?
Yeah, I mean, like...
why not, mate?
Okay. Granddad liked Man United.
We actually watched that game together and that wasn't too good either.
I swear every game we watch together we lose, by the way.
Mate,
Liverpool,
it's not
we lost.
Good.
A couple of others. But no, like, for me, I was obsessed with football from as soon as I could be. Like, even... when I first learned to write, the first thing I wanted to do was like write out my own leagues.
Uh-huh.
So I'd make like, I got, you know, the bingo machines where you get the balls and you put
that's
them out.
That's very interesting.
So I'd do like an FA Cup draw, for example.
Yeah.
And then I'd write it all out and then I'd either like roll a dice or I'd go on FIFA or something, see all the scores in a list, then write them out and see who goes through.
Yeah.
And then like next thing you know, you've got like Charlton winning an FA Cup or something.
Yeah, I love it.
But I honestly wish I could. I'll try and get a picture you can insert from my mum. She has all of it still. All
right, sweet.
There is like folders this deep
Yeah,
like, let's use the Kura Kura can as an example. Like, three Kura Kuras deep, of pages and pages of it.
Yeah.
You know?
I can say the same thing, though, with me, with just Chelsea Football Club. Like, just pictures of me from being, like, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 in just a Chelsea shirt with my mates running around, winning when we won the Champions League. Just, there's just history there, you know?
Yeah.
And it is an amazing club, I must say. And we will be going to a game very soon together once whole shit is over.
I hope so.
There's nothing better than walking down the Fulham Road with a cold pint in your hand singing Chelsea, Chelsea.
Chelsea, Chelsea all day. Oh, and mate, yeah, I do miss that, actually.
Yeah.
But something. I think for me, it was like, it was those pages of football were like my football reality. Like, I can, if I can't go to football every day, then at least I've got it in my room.
It's
associated with what you're doing. I'm in my reality of football now.
I'm the exact same. Like, at a young age, I was either banging out career mode on the PlayStation,
winning,
or even now, like I did the Bali Cup, for example. So what I did was,
I did a big project.
big football tournament, very prestige high-end football tournament based in Bali with bunch of teams, and from locals to expats, and it was actually a very successful day. We banged out a very good tournament for charity. I gathered a lot of money and gave it all to charity because I wanted to give back to the community during COVID.
Very good.
And it was a very successful project. So the Bali Cup, stay tuned for that.
I'm actually going to play next time.
Yeah, you better come next time. I don't have a hangover.
He's actually right. I can't even deny it. I can't
The Bali Cup coming very soon in 2021. It's going to be a very, very good project, a very, very good event. And it's going to showcase a lot of Bali brands. But it's going to be an overall amazing day of football.
That's what we like.
You can actually check it out and follow on Instagram if you want, the Bali Cup.
So Bali Cup.
You get some videos of me banging.
Link below. Hopefully below my link, I hope, you know. Prioritize.
Top or bottom for Mr. Benson.
Okay.
Statistic-wise, at the top, mate.
Okay, morning.
All right, so craziest Chelsea story. Craziest. Away and home.
Oh.
At the Bridge and away. Because you have been to, let's say, basically every Chelsea game for the past two years, is it?
Yeah, I was doing home and away for a couple of years. Yeah. I'd say away, I've had some mad ones, actually. Mm. Like, I went to Rome for Roma away in 2017, just before I flew here, actually. Uh-huh. And
Champions League, I'm presuming.
Yeah, Champions League. The worst trip I've ever had in terms of like a 72-hour window. All the things that could have gone wrong did. I'll explain very briefly all of it. First of all, flight, left my passport in the seat in front of me, got off the plane, and if you land in Italy, you go down the step onto the runway, and then they wouldn't let me back on, even though I wasn't
you can't do that.
Yeah, it's like, ridiculous. Okay, well, can someone go get me the passport?
Yeah, can you go get the passport?
Like, you work on this plane, like, you're about to go and clean it, I hope.
This whole thing, like, with, yeah.
So they basically said, go inside, wait in there, we'll bring it to you in a moment. Long story short, person didn't go back onto the plane. Didn't go look for it. Didn't even clean
it
because they'd
seen
it. It's
not like it's your earphone. It's like, oh, I left my earphone. It's your fucking passport.
Yeah, like, it's like, I can't get into your country if you don't
go and get it.
Like, please.
Or
like,
I can if you let me, but no.
So that happened. Got stuck in 11 hours in like a quarantine room.
Oh, mate.
In Rome. I ended up getting very angry because no one was communicating with me. I felt like I was a criminal.
I feel like people in airports, I don't know, this is just from my like personal memories and like experience, they're just dickheads. Like, they just are.
It's robotic.
I'm sure, it's robotic.
You know, I know you can never be too careful.
Yeah.
But like, I literally just told you I'm a geezer who's left my passport on the seat.
And I can't be able to get into your country.
And I can't go get it. Yeah. So like, you don't need to like, because they, one of the guys.
It's all just procedure-based robotic behavior.
Yeah,
that's how they operate.
Which is okay, but like, it's annoying when it's you that's happening to, you know? So the guy has a gun in his pocket. I start like coming in. I'm saying, listen, please tell me where my passport is. If you're not going to tell me, send me home.
Yeah.
I don't want to stay in this room forever. And I was doing it like this, and Italians get a bit funny sometimes when you're like being... So he pulled his gun out and put it down on the table with his hand on it, like pointing towards me, and was like, go and sit down.
What?
Over I'm like, fucking hell, man. Like, let me leave.
Who's this Tony Montana you're dealing with over here?
Something,
bro. Sopranos?
This is a big tone. I don't know, man.
What were you really leaving on the plane, Mr. Benson, is the question. Was it your passport?
It was definitely 100% my passport. Absolutely. But then long story short, 11 and a half hours after I left it on the plane, I got out of the airport, went to my hotel room, €120 per night in the middle of Rome, no window, no AC.
Oh, no.
It was like the end of September, October. It was still pretty warm. Dreadful room. Awful. And then went to the game. They lost 3-0. Got left in the Olympic Stadium for 2 hours afterwards because all the Roma fans and Lazio wanted to go and kill everybody. That was a bad away trip. Atletico Madrid away was pretty good. Ended up with a tattoo on my wrist as a result of
Batshuayi.
As for home games, To be,
that's not a good facial expression.
No, to be honest, like,
come on, we've got good memories at the bridge.
Yeah, like it's always good, you know. But yeah. I'd say probably seeing us win the league, seeing John Terry's farewell when we won the league under Conte, like that was emotional. I was crying, man.
Oh, there were grown 100%.
Men all around me, like old boys crying, like couldn't believe it.
Oh, such Terry's a beautiful day. Terry's a legend of the club. Like,
he is. He's the biggest legend, I'd say.
And he's also
leader
shagged
legend.
Everyone's wife, which is another plus.
No comment. But. But you know, I think it everything to do with it. Like I always say, with people that don't get football, people that don't like football, it's very hard to communicate like how much it means because they don't even see it a little bit, you know. So I think,
well, if you do want to see how much it means to them, there'll be a link in the description to your videos.
It's GBFC,
GBFC,
it's, baby. It's a daily thing. I think again, like I can never run out of things to talk about with Chelsea. You know, like bringing it back to content, like it's always going to be something as long as it.
And that's
liquidate.
What you want when you're making content. Yeah. You don't want to have that dry drought.
Yeah, stagnation's impossible unless you like keep going out partying all the time and don't make a video, which I've also spent a couple of days doing. But, yeah, man, like incredible memories, and I think it's about time we made some together at football.
Oh yeah.
Instead of watching on a laptop screen here or in the Forge.
Or do it. Yeah. 100%. It's in the list for sure. It's in the schedule. Football videos coming out as well as the Bali Cup. I don't know if I will have you in my team, but let's see.
I won't have you in my team, bro. You know,
I want to be playing
they call
you.
Me
that's
Jorginho,
sure.
Bro. Too good.
You don't really want to be called Jorginho after his fucking shocker of
maybe
a penalty.
Not, no.
He needs to stop taking penalties for our club with that
never
bullshit
again.
Stutter.
Never again.
Shambolic behavior. Anyways, favorite player in the current Chelsea team and of generations.
Favorite players ever. There's five. Fucking Zola was my first favorite because he was like the little wizard. I was the kid. I was like, I want to be Zola. Lampard, obviously. Terry, Drogba, and Eden Hazard.
Yeah, perfect. I couldn't agree.
Like that. More. That for me is the five of my lifetime, at least.
You get Frankie in there.
Oh yeah, he was number two. Right, no, he's actually number one, but like he was. I did it in order of like when they appeared for the club. Okay. Almost Terry appeared before.
Well done, mate.
Lampard, but you know. I know there'll be someone in the comments who's like, we do this really long podcast, and he's like, you said Lampard paid for Chelsea before Terry. I didn't mean it, okay? I know I was wrong. Current team.
Still have a go at him, though.
Yeah, current team, I love N'Golo Kante. Thiago Silva is absolutely brilliant.
New addition, but you can just see he's already that pivotal man that we need in the center position at defense, you know?
And I have a soft spot for Mason. I think
he's
brilliant.
You have to. He is a homegrown player that just, you can see his
and
life
he's
is
a good
Chelsea
lad,
football
bro, you know?
Fun.
Like, you can just tell.
He is a good guy.
He's just a
you
good guy.
You can have a fucking glass of water with him and have
glass
a
glass of water
chat,
or a Kura beer if he wants to come here on holiday.
Mason Mount, come to Bali, grab yourself a Kura beer, mate. We'll take care of you.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty... It's hard because when we record this now, they're going through a bit of a rough one. So I'm
kind of.
I'm kind of happy that the games are probably going to get called off for the next couple of weeks. I think they need it, and I need it as well, really.
I have must say, Didier Drogba for me, hands down.
It has to be that moment. That is
mate, that is one of the best
ecstasy.
Moments of my life.
Yeah, oh, it's my number one. It's my number one.
And it's Drogba. Oh my
there you
god!
Go.
That header.
Insert audio clip here.
That header. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I just remember watching that with a bunch of mates that are actually Arsenal supporters, Man United supporters, Spurs supporters. And I'm like, you're not coming into my house unless you're wearing a Chelsea shirt. And we're watching the game.
I hope.
And I
flipped
at the end. No, they did.
Oh, that's
I got
appalling.
A picture of it.
That's awful.
And at the end of it, you can just see the emotion in their face. They actually maybe even changed to a Chelsea supporter because of how good that moment was for our club.
I don't want to meet these guys. Just
Okay, a little would you rather question for you, mate.
Would you rather? Oh.
Would you rather manage Chelsea Football Club or play for Chelsea Football Club?
Manage. I actually think I'd be a decent football manager.
Yeah. Like, I actually could see that happening as well. I actually was thinking for a while, like if I could go down that route, I would actually not mind being a football manager.
I would, one day I'd love to get coaching badges.
Yeah.
I don't know when.
What is the process of becoming a manager for a football club? Do you actually know?
I mean, if we look at it now, like... Most of the managers that are coming up now were ex-players.
Yeah.
Same with punditry. It's very hard to
obvious.
Get into those
like,
two things because
unless
you
played
not,
before.
Yeah.
But there is some other ones like I don't know who, but there are some managers that just popped out of nowhere and actually are managing top tier clubs.
I think if I'm being honest, I don't know this for a fact. I'm just throwing this out the top of my head. You look at what they're doing at Red Bull, Red Bull Leipzig, Red Bull Salzburg, Red Bull whatever it is, like. I'm sure there's going to be programs that are coming out from these guys. Look at like Nagelsmann, the manager of Leipzig. Tactician, brilliant. Mm-hmm. Like people like this that is how I think football managers of the future could become, you know, through these big billionaire corporations who are like, okay, we can create a blueprint of football, not as it's been known, but as we now see it and know it as a gap. And then like, you can go into it that way. I think that's going to happen.
Red Bull are an amazing company, man. Like, they cover so much, and the quality that they handle things is as a sponsorship is insane.
Yeah, those teams, for example, get a lot of stick because they're not called like proper. There's no history, like not proper football clubs. But like, sometimes you just got to wake up and understand and accept that the world that we live in now
evolution
is going to involve this more and more.
Yeah, it is.
You know, like
the big corporations are taking over.
The rich get richer, and of course they're going to want a slice of another cake, you know?
Look what's happening with COVID.
Exactly.
Okay, so would you say, okay, managing for sure, would you say you'd rather be a full-time manager at Chelsea Football Club or a full-time commentator for the biggest games in the world, Champions League? Everything.
My biggest dream has been always to commentate on the BBC for a World Cup final with England in it, which is obviously something and I England can't control. And that would be like, that would be the pinnacle. But I'd definitely say commentator.
Okay.
You know, like being a football manager would be fun, but like I don't think, maybe in 10 years, who knows? It'd be the nature of like me to actually say like, okay, maybe I want to be a football manager now. But like, I think...
You got to stick to your roots.
Sticking to what I know, like commentary... Yeah, that'd be me.
Maybe we'd actually get you commentating for the Bali Cup.
I told you this. I said, like, at least like, I could commentate with a hangover. I can't really play very well, but...
Well, you didn't even show up, mate. You could show up with a hangover and have
it
more
beers. It was finished by the time
I
woke up, you know? I was busy.
Busy. Best game of football you've ever experienced. So not based around Chelsea, because you have been to the Euros. You have have you been to the World Cup as well?
I've been to the World Cup.
In Brazil?
Not in Brazil. I was at the semi-final that England lost against Croatia.
Yeah, mate. I was back in the UK for that, and I started watching the process. You're in Leeds. England. Yeah, I will shout out to Leeds, by the way. It's actually a sick city. I was actually starting watching the process of England in the Euros in Bali, and I was like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna fly to the UK on this date. Hopefully, they're still in, and they made it. You know, England.
Classic England.
Usually, don't make it in the World Cup. I'm half German, half English. So when it comes to the World Cup, I usually am a German supporter, but this time, it was the complete opposite. Korea knocking Germany. I was like, I got England. We're good. I'm not actually that bad of a fake fan. But yeah, I was like, all right, sweet. I'm going to be in the UK to watch England. Big screen. You know how it was in the parks, in Leeds. Everything was going well. Trippier bangs in that amazing free kick. It's coming home.
Literally, wouldn't stop ringing around the stadium.
Chants are going, and it just went left from there. I don't even want to go down that route of what happened. Yeah.
It was predictable after a while, and I feel like, as an England fan, like growing up, the first World Cup I remember was 2002. Uh-huh. I remember I was in Mallorca for pretty much the whole thing.
I was 1 year old then.
You're the baby girl. No, like, for me... From 2006 onwards, I was like proper in it, you know. Yeah. Like 2002 was kind of cool. I knew what football was, but I wasn't like in it, you know. But
was it in the scene, mate?
I think the most like, again, it was like one of the worst feelings I've ever had in my life. Huh. Like I was in a neutral seat. I went there with the guys from Qatar actually, so I was invited there to the game, and. I was in a neutral seat, surrounded by loads of Russians, Croatians, couple English, but like not many.
Not the best people.
And I just remember, like at the end of extra time, I was sat with my head in my hands. I couldn't sit down, bro. Like I was honestly the worst person in the stadium because I was in a place where I couldn't stand up and go nuts because that's what I wanted to do.
Because you're neutral.
And I was like in the stairway the whole time, pacing up and down the steps as if I was a manager. And then I think I pissed people off so much throughout the entirety of the game. At the end, when I'm sat there on the steps in Russia with my head in my hands,
crying
with a flipping beer in my hand and like dropped it over myself. And
then
all the guys coming down were like kicking me, slapping me around the
you
head,
see, that's just,
throwing beers that's on my just, face. Like
that's no offense, but I'm sorry, that's just Russians, man. Like you wouldn't, like, come on. Like why?
It was outrageous, but like it was probably one of the lowest.
So that was your worst footballing moment?
Yeah, that's the worst.
That's
for sure.
The worst by far. I'm going to actually pop on another bad boy.
Yeah, this one's got a bit warm.
This one's a lager. So the yellow one's a pale ale. This one is a lager.
Blue, just like my hair.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of looking a bit dirty now, mate.
It is. It needs to be redone. It does need to be redone.
It needs to be redone. Remember, Kaizai, 10% off all cans. And Kaizai, 20% off.
I'm just saying, you're good at this podcasting thing. By the way, this is like a compliment for a good friend over there. Hey, like, this is enjoyable. You're doing good.
Second episode. It's only going to get better. This is a journey, guys. You're only going to get better. The content's going to get better. We got actually two episodes. I'm actually filming another one tomorrow. So they're both going to come out after New Year.
He's on a roll.
I'm going to bang out two videos before the New Year shenanigans so I can party in peace. All right. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, bro.
And moving on now, next question, into the Wembley Cup, because that's something you took part of, which actually is a very, very amazing event. Shout out to Spencer and all the boys who do that, because for me, that's something amazing. Like, to do what they as well do for charity. It's kind of a bit of an influence on why I actually did the Bali Cup.
I was going
to
say that that's very like the Bali Cup format is very good to kind of model off of the Wembley Cup. It's good. It's cool.
So your experience, the players you played with, because you actually played with quite famous players. Which is a blessing, man, in life. That could be some people's dreams. So go into some details about what the Wembley Cup is, maybe. Not so much what it is, just a quick abbreviation.
And yeah.
Some of the famous players you played with.
Yeah, no. So I could never thank Spencer enough for creating that concept and coming up with the Wembley Cup.
An absolute OG.
Like, Spencer's one of the nicest guys I've met on YouTube, actually, for sure. Like, he's very genuine, down to earth, loves football, bro. Like, loves it.
It's his life as well. For,
and
like you.
It was when I got invited onto it, like obviously, there's a lot of logistics involved. Like, they obviously paid us as well. Yeah. So, like, it went through my management. That was all negotiated, blah, blah, blah. But, like, for me, I'd have done it for nothing. Yeah. I'd have been like, you're telling me I get to play at Wembley. First time was in front of no fans. I did two.
Yeah.
First time in front of no fans. Second time in front of, like, 25, 28,000 or something crazy. Wow. And I'm
that,
like,
that himself is a dream come true, man.
Yeah. And the thing with it was, and I've never actually really spoken about this, the thing with YouTube and football YouTube in particular is everybody is very much like focused on what they want to be seen as doing, I think.
Uh-huh.
So like, for example, there was one episode where I actually won a challenge by quite a bit, and it was for the central midfield position, and I didn't end up playing in that position, but I didn't care. I bring it up now
you
because at the time,
you, who was it? Who played the power card in that situation?
No. It wasn't a power card. It was more of like, I wanted to play in central midfield, but I'm nowhere near as good as Chris MD is at football. Okay. So they knew that it would have been better if Chris was in the middle and I was at the back.
Typical Arsenal.
That's just the way it is, you know? Like, I was just happy to start.
No, mate, I would have fucking been.
And no one wants to be in defence, bro, because everyone wants to score at Wembley.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like, it's very much.
I like chunks who actually missed a penalty.
I also gave away a penalty.
Oh, no.
Which I still don't think was. You know, I think Chuboy ran into me. Uh-huh. And that
Chuboy
was that.
Chuboy's an EA representative, no?
I don't know if he still is now, but he definitely was, But in terms of the experience,
VAR
I think... video assistant ref that one. I think for me, like, the shoots were fun, but on the, like, the days before the match, we all stay in a hotel.
Yeah. So it's actually that nice community, Kind of brings you back to, like, kid days when you went on camp, you know, with your mates or something.
Yeah, but it's like, it was just like going to a football game, you know? Like, the day of a football match that you go and watch is pre-game, go for a beer, some nice food, and then you go to the match and then you do the same thing afterwards. Yeah. It's exactly the same with the Wembley Cup. We'd all be hanging out beforehand. Yeah, there was like filming stuff we had to do, but it was like, no one cared because we were about to play a game at Wembley.
Yeah.
Play the game and then everyone goes to the Hippodrome afterwards and gets absolutely annihilated and loses a load of money. That was exactly what it was, literally.
Perfect.
It was sick.
And who were the top tier names you played with?
God, I can't actually remember who I played with now. Okay, JJ Okocha.
Who you played against, let's say. Just who was in the same on the same pitch as you.
I played with Okocha, and it was
amazing.
Sick because I actually worked with him with Nike in Paris about a few months before. And we followed each other, talked a bit on Twitter after that. And then he remembered, and it was like fist bump when we saw each other
pitch,
again.
Like,
that's
like,
my teammate, JJ Okocha. So good they named him twice,
madness.
Bro. Yeah, it was
he's
like,
an incredible player, man.
That was cool.
Very, very good player.
And then I remember after the game, we were all like collecting our medals. I think we lost, actually.
What was the score?
I can't remember, like 7-2 or something stupid. And then I just saw Robert Pires just stood there.
Yeah.
Like, no one's talking to him. I'm like, hang on a minute.
This can't
How
be
many times can I be like having a little nosy around Wembley?
No, Pires is there.
Chatting to Pires. You know, like, yeah.
He
okay.
is an Arsenal player, man.
He's
we'll
an Arsenal
we'll
scumbag,
him.
But what
we'll
else? What else, you know?
he's also French.
Yeah. I'd say that's still to this day probably one of the top experiences I've ever had through YouTube, other than playing a game at Stamford Bridge, but still.
Wow, that's equally as good, man.
And
well
I admit, bro, I don't think anyone saw this. I had a shot from 25 yards, last kick of the game, outside the box, put my laces through it, but it hit the corner flag, bro.
Oh.
For real. So bad, man. I was so angry. So angry, bro. I didn't even care about anything after that.
That's anyway. His temperament.
It's an interesting one.
Calm us out in football. Mm. Being there, seeing that.
Always sport.
Moving on to your thoughts on the VAR.
Thoughts on VAR? I think it's absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, mate.
For me, like, I'm not qualified, apparently.
Oh, fuck
off. I'm more qualified than
these idiots. Anyone who watches the game
idiots.
Of football and plays football from a young age is qualified to have an opinion on the VAR.
I'm more qualified because I watch enough football to know that these decisions they're making on an almost game-by-game basis are wrong.
Are wrong. Completely
like,
wrong.
The laws of the game are written for a reason. And what is the point in introducing this thing that kills
the game.
So much of the love and passion?
Exactly.
And like, okay, I'll give you an example. Chelsea-Ajax last season. 4-4 it finished. Yeah. We would have won 5-4 from 4-1 down.
100%. Amazing game.
VAR.
Can you imagine? Like, what is that? It's just the momentum that football builds how good the game is. So all that momentum that's built from each side is just completely cancelled out when it's VAR.
You can't celebrate a goal.
You can't.
Like,
I feel like they use it in the most stupid scenarios. Like when
like
they're supposed to, yeah,
or
when they're supposed to use the VAR,
come
they
on.
Don't even check it.
No.
But when it's like, oh, let that slide. It's a fingernail. It's a hairline.
Yeah.
It's my guy's fucking left toe. Nah, VAR, and it's there by 0.01 centimeters. That's not a goal. Oh, that is a goal. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways of looking at it. If it's, like, completely nailed down, and these are the laws of the game, and we will use it every
time
to make sure everything is consistent with the laws,
no problem.
If that's how it's going to be,
okay, fine.
Otherwise, there's no point in a rule book.
But it's not using it. They're not doing that.
The people operating it are stupid.
Yeah.
100%. The quality of refereeing in English football is fucking atrocious.
Yeah.
I can say that here because it's not my YouTube channel. But like, it is appalling, bro.
Yeah, it is. It's
and it's
bad.
Like, look at the last World Cup. Was it like, Clattenburg was going to be refereeing. Why is there no other refs? Oh, none of the other ones
are
good enough. They're not good enough. Of course they're not good enough.
Mate.
You know, like, what is this?
How about this? We go work the VARs.
No, because I don't want it actually there in the first place. I don't want to be like facilitating.
Yeah, honestly, hashtag VAR out. That's another hashtag.
Yeah,
for you
I'm
guys
done with it.
Comment, man.
Done with it, man.
It's just stupid. It ruins the momentum, man. All that momentum built up and gathered up, which football is, you know, that anticipation, the flow of the game is just completely gone because of this stupid technology. Ridiculous. All right, swiftly moving on again. Who's gonna win the league this year?
Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Yeah, but a month ago I'd have said we'd won it. But
same. I would not
just
even
had
a month
feeling.
Ago.
But
that game at Wolves was a pivotal moment on why we're not going to win the league.
Yes, when I almost broke my hand by hitting the bar so hard because I was so angry. I was fuming. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, people... say this now.
We
because,
watched that
like,
game together and it did not turn out very well.
For people that are coming from me, if you're watching this because I sent you there from either Instagram or YouTube or Twitter or something, sometimes when I don't make a video straight after the game...
It's for your own good, guys. I can vouch for him. It's for your own good.
I am raging so hard and I don't want to... This is actually an interesting topic of discussion, to be honest. I don't want to post a video of me swearing and going crazy.
You don't
want to
portray yourself.
Then that's what people expect from
me. Exactly.
I want to have Chelsea fans who love our club watching my videos because that's what I feel
we're not
most
Arsenal
of the time.
TV.
I have nothing against that platform. I have nothing against what AFTV
say,
do. But for me, I don't want that as my content, you know? So sometimes I might wait a little bit, you know? Just because, like... And this all comes back together for everything we've been talking about in this podcast today.
Yeah.
The way that your work is and the mood that is expected from you, from your viewers, and what people want will determine how you live your life in any given moment with relationships, with your friends, with your social life, with how you feel within yourself when you're alone.
Yeah.
All of this comes back together. So I don't want to be there straight after a Wolves defeat in the 95th minute, effing and blinding,
putting out that negative
saying this
energy.
Is shit, that's shit. Because then when I wake up in the morning, I read the comments.
Yeah.
There's 1,000 comments and everyone's like, right. Yeah, fuck this.
And
then my mood for the day is fuck this. You know?
Exactly. It's what you put out into the universe. It's manifestation.
Yeah, bro. It's so simple. It's so simple. And people sometimes like... It's one of the hardest things about what I'm doing right now, actually, is people's expectation of me is that if the video's not out in the like 2 minutes after full time, there's something wrong. Like, people don't know what goes into it, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, I'm not just the mechanical creator, you know? I'm actually a very emotive person.
Yeah.
I'm very
it's
much like... I care about myself and how I feel every day more than I care about making this one video.
And what other people think.
And if people
you.
Don't like that, that's okay.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to change it because if I change it, I stop this like good pattern I've had for 9 years.
Momentum.
I don't get burnouts. It's momentum. I don't get, because I'm in control of everything and I take charge, you know? And that's just it for me, bro.
Well said, bro. Well said. And who's going to
win? That was a rampage, man.
We started off, who's going to win the league, and we went down that. I love it. Love it. And who's going to win the Champions League? Chelsea, we have to say. We've got a chance. Fuck it.
We could be Atletico. Right now, we're going to get battered by them. The way we're playing right now, they are the team that will demolish us.
Yeah.
We've got to fix that. Bayern Munich
just
going to win
like
again.
Me
no
playing
doubt.
You in tennis.
A funny one. Yeah, he's actually on a very good roll with me at the moment. Bayern Munich are winning it again. They are a class above anybody else.
Yeah, yeah. Their level of football, or just the level of football they showed last season in the Champions League, was a piss take.
Yeah.
It was like playing semi-pro.
Bro, you know what it is? Like, it was ridiculous. The fact that all of their players spent all day, every day in
training.
The gym.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, lifting weights, bro.
You would see that. I don't know what player it was, but I saw a before and after pick.
Goretzka,
that's exactly
massive,
who it
bro.
Is. Mate, he was...
Unit.
He looked like me. He was a slim lad, you know? And then you just saw him like 6 months after being in Bayern Munich.
Crazy. Even Coutinho. Jackpot. Like slender, and then all of a sudden he's like Boom. Big Phil
running
bro.
Non-stop.
Big
actually
Phil Mitchell, bro.
All right. Any future content we can look forward to that's going to be based on football in Indonesia?
Oh yeah, big stuff. You know, I actually had something that I tried to execute for the World Cup that would have been like probably the most ambitious YouTube football project ever.
Uh-huh.
It didn't go through for one story or another. Won't go into it now. But in Indonesia, I think the league is opening back up again in February.
It is.
Supposedly.
That is correct.
I wanted to start this before, but I'm talking to somebody now who's going to be director and producer. I want to be creating a series of football content within the Indonesian Premier League.
Yep.
But it's going to be far more tribal football focus as opposed to just like going to the games and recording the vlogs.
Yeah, it's
going to
be the fans behind the clubs.
Yeah.
How they support it, where they live, more like culture
based
football.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah. I don't think we've even talked about this very much.
No, not really.
That's exactly what
it is.
We're
on the same
I want it to be like, I live here, so I feel as though I'm obliged to engage in the Indonesian culture, not just in Bali, 100%. But over the whole country.
Around Indonesia,
bro.
Yep.
You know?
Because football is a very big thing here, man. Like, I can't
believe
that right now.
Like, let's say...
Fans die over derbies here.
I know. And that's what I want to go and hopefully not document directly, but I want to talk to people who it means so much to, who I get it because I'm a diehard Chelsea fan, but
you
I don't
relate
get
to.
It. Yeah, I want to create that relation and I want to document that
I think I'll be really sick.
Senses and emotions.
I'll do very well.
So it's going to be like... It's going to be a very in-depth series. Like, perfect. It's not going to be just like your regular run-of-the-mill YouTube content. It's going to be...
Almost what Copa 90 does, but better. Or no?
I wouldn't want to go and say it's going to be better because I haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
But like,
you gotta
I want
put that,
it to be...
You got to put that out there, bro. Always achieve...
Yeah.
Always aim to achieve better.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't want it to be like so good because it's better than something else. I want it to be so good because I made it and I'm proud of it, you know? So I'm not... Yeah. But I think...
You're just being humble, guys.
Hopefully, we can start in February. They've gone and closed Bali now for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so,
you
know what the
you can't really plan things
like,
anymore. It's they say one thing, especially here. They say one thing and they do the complete opposite a week later.
Yeah.
So,
that's definitely going to come. And then Euros in Europe.
Oh, mate. I think we can do something special there.
For sure.
That's going to be something very, very intriguing. Stay tuned for that, guys. That's going to be something very, very, very good.
For real. Derek, for real.
That's just an inside joke. Like, why the fuck is this guy saying this? It's a little salamander over here.
Little turquoise salamander.
All right, so when creating content, there are three main reactions that I believe you want from your viewers.
Okay.
There's a yes, there's a no, and there's a wow. So when you create a piece of content and you upload it, you're either looking for, okay, yes, I'll accept this piece of content, I'll watch it. Or it's like, nah, that video's not for me.
Yeah.
And there's that wow. This video is, I like this, I'm going to share this, I'm going to tell my friends about it.
Yeah, okay.
And when you create content, would you say that is what you're driven by? I want to aim for that wow factor from what the viewers want? Or
I used to. I used to think it was like, I wanted to blow people's minds.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's just a method of expression that I'm so fucking grateful that it's become my job.
Okay.
Like, I could talk about Chelsea with that white brick wall behind you or this one behind me. No problem for 12 hours a day if I wanted
easily.
To. But like now, it's like... Okay, I'm sat on the end of my bed with a neon light that I drilled to my wall that says GBFC in my slogan, yes, guys.
Yeah.
And I can just sit there and talk to that camera lens as if it's my mate in the pub.
Perfect.
And like for me now, it's that's not about you want, the wow. Man. Like that's what, okay, this is the difference. I still have that creative side in me that's like, I want to make something sick. I have that. But in terms of a job, just sitting talking about Chelsea every day, I'm okay with just doing it.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be crazy. It doesn't need to be wacky because I've done that, bro. I've done like sick edits. I've done travel videos that have taken me days to edit, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I've done that. And I think there's a time and a place for that level of creativity.
100%.
You know? And it has to be something that is progressive.
With what you're doing, it's not necessary.
Yeah. And it's like...
what I do believe in is the environment you are in. If you add little things like you said, your Yes Guy sign and your SW6 time for Bridge sign. Things like that, for me, is key.
Yeah, because people want to feel... Like, it's what something I to want associate to achieve... To.
It's eye candy.
Yeah, yeah. What I want to achieve is like... Let's say 50,000 people view my video.
Yeah.
The way I see it is whenever I look in the lens of the camera, like straight into the lens, I'm talking to that one. I'm not talking to the collective. I'm talking to the individual.
Yeah.
So I want people to come to my video and feel like what they're hearing from me is exactly what they'd have heard.
If they met you
having one of these at the pub.
Yeah.
You know, that's
exactly.
It.
And like, to be honest, that's what I feel like when I'm watching your videos, mate. It's, good. It's exactly that. It's exactly like it's me and you in a room and you're telling me your point of view. Of what the club is and what the club's doing and how they should do this.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So well done.
That's how I feel.
You're doing that very successfully.
Thank you, mate.
Who has been the most inspiring and famous person you have worked with?
Most inspiring and famous person. Did you say inspiring and famous?
Well, they don't have to be famous. But I'm just saying, like, is there that top-notch person that is in the industry or that is in the sporting scene? Because you have worked with quite some good, well, not good, like high-end people. For brand endorsements, for videos.
I think when I went and met Ronaldo.
Yeah, you see, there you go. Like,
you
see what I mean? It's like, famous Ronaldo.
Yeah, we did some crazy stuff, man. Like, we went to his house when he was in Lisbon, playing for Sporting Lisbon as a kid. Like, we went to his old bedroom. Like,
that's
saw
crazy.
The owners. Like, we're chatting to his best friend from childhood just about him. The video's out on my main channel, but the vlogs... aren't there anymore.
Oh, no.
Because I did daily videos there too for my vlog channel, which is now offline. I have the videos in a hard drive back at home and nowhere else has
at
it.
At least they're saved.
They're safe somewhere.
Footage with Ronaldo, like...
Yeah, dude. Like, come on, man. That was pretty mad.
Yeah.
And then like some of the sporting brand deals I've done with like Adidas, Nike, like going to some of the biggest games in the world, like Champions League finals in a box, that kind of thing. Madrid derby, you got... Red Wall of Atletico on the left, Real Madrid whites, Los Blancos on the right. Like being there and like having a flipping like huge buffet banquet, and then like all these drinks.
You
and
can
then
stop
like,
now.
I'm like, okay, like this is
it's
madness,
just Mr.
Bro.
Benson here.
Yeah, but like,
I do think that would have all taken place with your blue hair.
Oh no! Back in those days, I was boring, man. I had fucking dreadful lids.
No.
I mean,
no,
this is hardly not dreadful.
That's a tortoise hairstyle. Right? What inspires you in life, mate?
What inspires me in life?
Cliche, but it's something nice to talk
about.
No,
I think the thing about good cliche questions is it all depends on the answer. If it's a cliche answer,
perspective.
It's boring. You know, I think it's, for me, I mean, this is a whole nother rabbit hole for a whole nother hour, really. But for I want to get a concept of what reality really is.
Uh-huh.
And I want to be able to mold it into whatever it is that I want.
Perfect.
Like, it's like...
Wizard.
Yeah, there's a lot of depth that I could go into.
No, 100%.
I won't
we could talk about this
now.
For 2 hours.
Yeah, like, that's a whole nother thing, bro. But, like, for me, I understand the control that I have over my environment.
Yeah.
And I also know that there's a lot of things outside of my direct environment that I can also control. But being able to manage that without, like, ruining anyone else's life or ruining anything around me is key. And I think you have to get to a certain level of understanding and awareness and groundedness to be able to be there. But like, I'd say this year, for example, I've managed to get to a point where I feel like I've elevated myself to a level where I can do these things, you know?
I can agree with you, man.
Yeah.
Something I'm going to add to that is a very good quote from one of my role models, Bruce Lee. Is
Big Bruce.
The key to immortality is first living a life worth living.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think that kind of sums it up basically.
Big Bruce
Stones.
Yeah.
He's a legend, man. That guy is...
Big Bruce Lee, bro.
Big Bruce Lee.
Big Bruce. Whenever I think of Big Bruce, I think of the shark from Nemo. You know, what,
yeah. Big Bruce.
Snuggly
the boss,
buggly.
Bro. The boss.
Oh, mate. Another inside joke.
Too many inside jokes. Sorry, guys. We've only got an hour. We can't explain them all.
What is your top strategy when implementing those things you just basically summed up? Whether it's content creating, whether it's living life, whether it's making those decisions with the shift you've done. What is your strategy behind it? Is it something more towards intuition? Or is it something more towards you sit down, you do your research, you look at other people who are doing it, and you take notes back from it?
I do very little research, bro.
So
I don't
you would
plan.
Say it's intuition.
I don't make plans. I do plans.
Okay.
Like, I wake up one day and I will decide tomorrow to go back to London.
Yeah.
And I'll go without even telling anybody.
I love that.
And I'll be like, sorry, guys.
That's
like,
intuition.
That's just it, you know? Like, that's intuition. That's how I've always tried to operate. And I think sometimes you need to, we often talk about this off camera, like the run of wins that you get keeps building
winning
the
streak,
next one.
Baby.
Winning streak, baby.
I'm on a winning streak.
Like, I think when you are so sure that whatever decision you make is going to take you to where you need to be at, you will make it without even thinking. And that process of thinking and procrastination,
the universe will slightly nudge you down that way instead of going that way, which will lead you to go there.
That process
of, I don't know if that sounds a bit, but yeah.
No, it makes sense. Like, the process of procrastination and dwelling on something or a decision that deep down you feel like you need to do, but maybe you're worried about how this person's going to affected or that person. Literally, the less you care about what people around you think,
the more
you actually care. Does this make sense?
It's an imaginary boundary that doesn't exist, and that's called fear.
Human beings don't actually really want to have surface layer relationships.
Yeah.
They want to have friendships, relationships, and trust in people
families.
Who are so attuned to themselves and what they want that when you make a decision that on the surface actually might hinder or hurt someone else, no, you're doing it because you know it's right for you, which, because you're so aware of that, if it's not right for you, but
you act different.
You're not, it's not right for them either, because you can't be yourself.
No.
So then if you're not being real, then what's the meaning
doing?
In that, that transaction? It doesn't make any sense.
And that's you know what I think adds to that, and why the problem is that's happening a lot, is technology.
Yeah,
I think technology,
reality's view
technology
for most people
is one of the
distorted,
reasons
bro.
Because of that.
Yeah. There's a big distortion in what's real
and
what's not.
We're going through a pivotal moment in life right now, mate. And it's all based around technology. This whole agenda, technocratic agenda shift with this COVID, blah, 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 is something that is going to alter our lives forever. We are not going to live the same life we did 2 years ago, a year ago. It's not going to be the same.
Yeah.
I tell you that right now.
I think for me, like, I don't want to go into,
I don't
like,
either want
politics,
to go down to that
but
tangent,
I think
no.
this, an important thing to remember, let me just put my beer next to my agent, Derek. I think an important thing to remember is, like, let's just use an example from this whole COVID situation to explain, like, this point. When people say about the amount of deaths that have happened, and then in the small print on there it says, deaths that have occurred of anybody who tested positive of COVID-19 in the last 28 days... What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't honestly want to go down that because...
It doesn't, but
I'm pretty sure if we go down this COVID tangent, something's going to happen.
But the thing
too.
Is, I'll solve it in one thing. A couple of sentences. What that does is it shows you that even the people who are supposed to be at the top, they don't know the official answers.
They don't know anything.
So the fact that we're all directed
depending
to following
them.
That is crazy.
It's retarded.
And I think for me, like, in terms of advice... to anyone watching this, because I guess it's going to be people that come from you and people that come from me. Like, I wish people who follow me don't just follow, bro.
No.
Stop following people. Like,
you're not a sheep.
You're not a human being.
You have the right to question
everything. Exactly. You have the right to want to know the facts
you
and the truth.
You are the reason of this being. You are the reason of, you do what you want to do in life. And trust me, the reason, and not the reason, when you start doing that, you're going to realize it's not a process that comes like this. But if you start just, I don't know, like I said in the last thing, just start writing down your things, what you want to achieve, instead of following someone that's doing it. Because you're going to find out yourself in the lessons you learn that it will come to you what you want to do.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, okay, this guy's doing this, I'm just going to follow him down the road, I'm going to do what he's doing. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
No. But you said it, very well spoken.
Thank you, Derek.
I think he's had one too many Kuro Kuros.
Oh, I'm 1 3/4 through.
going down that route. He's actually very good at impersonation, so I want you to give us a couple, mate.
Oh, yes. How many people you want me to speak like today, you little sexy boy?
I must say, when we're on it with the boys, his impersonations is fucking amazing. Oh. Attribute to have. Peter Griffin.
I haven't done this for a long time, mate, bro. Okay, let me set up straight.
Here we go. Hey, it's Peter Griffin. Oh my God, I've not done this for so long.
That wasn't bad, actually.
If that doesn't deserve a like or anything, I'm gonna.
If that doesn't like, deserve Kai's eyes, subscribe. For Peter
Griffin, mate. And who else you got down in your back pocket, Mr. Benson?
The pressure's on now. I'm gonna need to smoke my vape. Anyway.
We don't condone vapes on this podcast.
Oh. Really. I don't know, man.
That was good enough.
I can do accents, bro.
Oh, yeah,
bro. I can do an accent like this for the rest of the podcast if you wee wish.
Oh, yeah. Your ace, mate. He's fucking
hey, up. Mate. Yeah, don't worry about it, mate. It's no problem. You know, Liverpool today, 1-1 against West Bromwich Albion. It's not good enough. Right, it's not
South
good enough.
South African.
It's your heart, bro. That one's one of the best.
It's a great white.
I like people from there, bro. They've got nice coffee, bro. Good sharks, bro. Good penguins.
Yeah.
Very nice, eh?
Yeah, bro.
Real nice, bro.
Give us an Aussie.
Mate, all you got to do, mate, if you want to get an Aussie accent, is go out in the street, mate. All those guys stuck here from COVID.
Drink
what
a
bloody
Bintang?
Hell's COVID?
Great. Love it. If you could make one change to better the world, what would it be?
I can't say what I was going to say there. one change to better the world, it would definitely have to be to stop watching the news.
100%. Good one.
Stop watching.
I've said
the
100%
news,
about 5 times in this podcast, but I don't know what else to say because it is 100%. Well, no.
Just stop watching the news. Yeah. If you want to, like, I set a challenge to people, right?
Yeah.
All I do for the news is I go on Twitter and go to the Explore page for 10 minutes a day.
That is the real news.
The problem is, like, with Twitter, there's a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're aware that there's a lot of
and
shit...
if you follow the right people
you
as
can
well.
See, yeah, you yeah. can see the right stuff. And then you don't need to watch anymore. You don't need to hear the guy's voice, or you don't need to see, like,
the news
the
is all fake. I'm sorry if I broke your heart. I'm sorry if it's not legit, but that's just the truth behind it. I'm sorry.
I'd say stop
and
watching
the
news.
And if you haven't seen that with what's happening in the world right now, with the politics and with the fucking... debates and all the shit that's happening in the US, you need to wake up. If you could have a billboard anywhere in the world with anything on it, where would it be and what would be on it?
I mean, I'd actually have one in Batu Belig that says, my name's Derek, with a big picture of me on it. And I'd be pointing towards your house, bro.
Something serious, something good, mate.
Something serious. Where would I put my billboard?
Strategic. Come on.
Strategically. So we're talking like probably like business kind of promotion, really. I would say I'd have my billboard in Times Square because the CPM in America is better than it is in the UK.
Yeah.
So the potential of 100%. The US audience who love Christian Pulisic coming to the George
Benson
Football
Captain America.
Channel, it would be
he
better.
He needs to get more playing time instead of Werner on the wing.
Yeah, it's true, but I would put it in Times Square.
That's not a bad shot, mate.
And
I actually
didn't
have
yes,
a little,
guys.
Yeah, yes, guys, with the YouTube
with
link.
GBFC on it. That's it.
That's it. Boom. Maybe it happens. Give us 5 years. Times Square.
Yeah. Any sponsors who want to contact me, link is in the description. You can message me.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a WhatsApp.
But I take a fee because of
5%.
The podcast.
5%.
Make it 7.
5.
What has been the most important thing you have learned so far in your 26 years on this planet?
Ooh, the most important thing I've learned in my 26 years on this planet is to not give a fuck about what anyone else wants from me and to literally do whatever the hell I want
to
do.
Amen to that, brother.
Like, there's people in life who are going to mean a lot to you that you should always try and do your best for, but you should never do something just for them. It should always be for you. Because then when you are the best version of yourself, you can offer the best when people need you, really.
Amen.
You know, people want something from you every day.
Yeah.
No matter where you go, you walk down the street, you go to the supermarket, someone's always going to want something from you, right? But on like a bigger scale of like the people you care about, people always have expectations.
Yeah.
I don't have any expectations of anyone.
Yeah.
I expect nothing.
Nothing.
Therefore, so
therefore you don't have a...
I never get let down. I never get resentment for things. Sometimes I do. If someone's like super flipping rude or doesn't treat me with respect. But like, I don't expect anything.
That's a very, very good thing to live by. Don't expect anything for anyone, even your own mom, even your own best friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it will help you out, trust me. And what you said about that is I wanted to become the best person of myself, that therefore I can provide for others.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is being a true entrepreneur. That is being the true best of yourself, is you get to a position in life where you can make other people live their best life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that can work for business, you know? If you want to be a billionaire, you just keep working then, bro. Like, go, move
that's
away,
it.
Never speak
to
anybody.
That's what it comes down to. That's a fundamental. Everyone's like, tips and tricks, learn how to become rich, learn how to become...
I hate
it's the
it,
graph,
so much, man.
Honestly, if you want the key fundamentals, it is the work ethic.
It's the work ethic on...
Okay, people
whatever.
Are blessed with knowledge that have more knowledge than you. People are blessed that are smarter than you, of course. That's how it is. But at the fundamental root of it and the core of it is this guy is willing to outwork you. When you're out on New Year's with your mates getting shit-faced, he's in his
Which
basement.
We'll definitely be doing.
He's in his basement coding a website to sell this. That's how it is. And he doesn't do that just one weekend, just one event. He'll be doing that 365 days a year, 24/7, until he gets there. And when he even does get there, he won't even stop. He'll keep going. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's focus on your lane.
It's consistency, man.
Yeah, focus on your lane and invite people in when they deserve to be there, or when you feel like you can bring something to somebody that's organic and real. Then you help people.
Nothing comes from doing nothing.
That's right.
Yeah, and don't overthink it.
That's right.
Shout out to my guy Ralph, who said to me actually that quote. I know he's watching. Big ups, my guy.
Big up, Ralph. Do I know Ralph?
No. He's an OG. He's a mentor in my life. I shout out to him. Living out of Ibiza. What a legend. So how important is it to actually have role models?
How important are role models? I think it's always really good to have people that you look up to. But I think there's a misconception with role models that is that it has to be someone who's been there and done it.
Yep.
And I think so much of the focus with people now is that we all want to have all the answers, but
now,
we're not willing to accept that
the human race is getting lazier by the day.
Yeah,
everyone wants
it
now, and again, that's due to technology.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been through phases in my life where I felt like I've been a role model to some younger people than me for sure in the last 9 years. But the one thing I did wrong, I'd say maybe 3 years ago, was I acted in the way I communicated as if I already knew everything. So when I'm talking as if like it's my way or the highway.
Yeah.
And if you don't listen, then don't ask me for advice again because you didn't listen.
It's not a good attitude.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas now I think it's like you have to...
I know this amount. If you want help coming to me, I'll give you what I can.
Yeah, yeah. This is how I see it. I've not got all the answers yet. I'm still on my path.
This is what I can provide.
But like this is how I feel about it. And I feel like there's so much like education that is dictative... that it becomes very difficult to forge your own path because you're trying so hard to be like your role model, you know? Because you think they know everything and they've got all the answers, but it's
but
never the truth.
But they're also, at the end of the day, just a human being.
Yeah, it's never the honest
truth,
bro.
It's good to have people that you look up to see what they're doing right.
Yeah.
But everyone has good and everyone has bad, no matter how bad they are, no matter how good they are. And it's important to take the good from them and the bad from them and keep that balance in you.
Yeah. And I think, like... there's probably some people watching this that are younger. I think that's the biggest problem with the education system.
The education system is shambolic. It hasn't been changed for, 40, 50 years?
Yeah,
it's
the gap
ridiculous.
Between the teacher and the student is that the student is learning, the teacher knows.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
When you question it as
teaching.
A student...
The teacher's telling you.
Yeah,
so
yeah. When you're the student and you're questioning, there's not enough bridge to like help the student to know that it's okay that they don't understand. Mm. So therefore... this teacher who's supposed to know everything is supposed to bridge that and make the student aware, you know?
Why do you think so many successful people dropped out of school or didn't finish school?
But you know that's the reason I dropped out of school. Because I'm like, why on earth would I pay this person 10 grand
more even
to teach
some
me
cases.
Something that I actually, a lot of it I didn't need to. I'm not saying I knew more than the lecturer.
It's the thing they're giving you is not knowledgeable. It's not important in
what
you need.
Where I needed to be, I knew I was better doing it alone without paying 10K.
Me driving down the street, it's not like, okay, in 150 meters, turn left. Yeah, that's what it says on the sign. It's not like in 150 meters, X minus 2, minus 4, turn left.
I don't need to know. I don't need to know this shit.
And
you've
got this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that is mate, if I, that's why, like, if for me, history is very important to know. But, like, if you want to know anything, mate, it's a fucking second away on your fingertips.
We're blessed, man.
We're blessed. If you could have dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, wow. That's an incredible one. I actually already know my three answers just straight off the top of my head. David Attenborough would be number one.
Oh, well done.
I would pay for everything, actually.
David Attenborough, you are the real God. You are the real religion. You are. Everyone needs to focus on what he's doing and make a fucking change.
Yeah.
Because he is the only person at that level. And look how old he is, and he's still doing bits. Yeah. We need to do what he's doing and take the accountability of how important our planet is. And I'm not going to go into further details, but we've got very special guests coming soon with environmental specialists and the change they're doing for our island, for the world, actually.
That's good. I think it'd be him. It would be Jose Mourinho.
Yeah.
Just because I'm just fascinated by him. The special one. You know, like, he just is, like, he's incredible. I don't like him the way I used to because of things, but as soon as he's not managing Tottenham, I'll love him to bits again. Him. And the third one would probably be... who would the third one be? I think it'd probably be... I was going to say so.
Just zoom into his face. You'll see his facial expression change. He's like, I shouldn't say that.
It would probably be Frank Lampard, actually. Like, nice, safe one.
All right.
Before I get drawn off track.
I would... My three would have to be Bruce Lee, Tupac.
That's a good one.
And Mike Tyson.
That's a pretty good one too. I mean, all three of them.
Yeah.
If you said anyone famous, I don't think I'd really turn them down for dinner. Depends who's paying, but like, that's good.
Hey, no one's paying. Kura is responsible.
just eating beer.
If you could bring back one extinct animal, what animal would it be?
Oh, the Diplodocus, bro. All day. What? Have you not seen those guys? The Diplodocus, dinosaur. Man.
No idea.
If you don't know what a Diplodocus is...
Put up an image on the screen right now.
You got to put it up. It's not me. I'm not editing it. Editors. You got to do it. Editors are in. Yeah, Diplodocus. I just think they look pretty cool. Any dinosaur, to be honest, I think would be fascinating.
Yeah, if you just pulled out a random T-Rex.
Just bringing one out to the party, bro. Like,
I would have to be, honestly, something recent that's being extinct that we can save.
But they're already extinct, so we can't save.
Yeah, but it's bringing back one extinct animal, so it would be them.
But if you could save dinosaurs, they're the most adapted.
They're the most adapted to our current situation.
We could get.
I would say the Sumatran tiger. Keep it local.
Respect that.
Yeah.
But then we could also bring back dinosaurs, and they can eat all of these dumb people that are trying to lead us.
We could bring up like a T-Rex and just chuck it in the White House. Or pterodactyl. Derek Dactyl.
Bro, you should bring back the dodo.
Here we go. Kai and George's shit bandit. If you won £1 million in the lottery, what are you doing with it, mate?
What am I doing with a million? Bitcoin. I'm actually joking. I know nothing
about
Bitcoin.
That's not a bad shout, to be fair. Shout out to Bitcoin. It's going to hit 35 to 50K.
I think it's
on the rise, 23 to 28 grand in the last couple of days. Shout out to Bitcoin.
Honest answer would be I would try and invest it in some properties.
Yeah, 100%. I think real estate is a...
Yeah.
If you have something up there... Real estate is where you want to go down in one sector of it.
There's nothing wrong with bricks and mortar. It's never going to go down, you know?
That's what I've always learned. Charity is one sector automatically. Got to do.
Yeah?
Something good, though, because there's a lot of dodgy charities out there. But
there is.
If I had that much amount of money, I would have to... Off something like the lottery, not hard-earned, which I will get to one day, by the way. But it would be charity. It would be real estate. And it would be building a dream house as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get that with a million doesn't go that far these days.
What are you trying to build?
My dream house would have a full, like, big Derek on the roof. I'd have maybe a couple football pitches in there, tennis court,
football pitches.
Grass, clay, hard court. That's the dream house, you know?
That's a dream.
That is.
So, Mr. Benson, I think time's running short. I think this is a... We could carry on going all day, honestly, I feel like. But I feel like you will be back on for round two very, very soon.
Yeah, I think we should pinpoint some of the key talking points in this podcast that we might not have addressed
because we focus on that.
There's been a few things that could have gone.
We can go into a lot more depth.
Yeah.
100%. No, we're only doing this because we're on a time-bound schedule. Otherwise, we'll be going for hours.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Kai.
Hey, brother, anytime. Shout out to Mr. George Benson. Yes, guys. All links in the description. Check him out on YouTube. Check him out on Instagram. I don't know if you want to see his face on Instagram as much, but Twitter, everything will be down below. It's been an amazing episode. I want to thank you personally, bro, for coming on.
Shall I come over and shake your hand?
What's this? Oh, look at this guy. Don't follow him on
real
anything.
Life Derek behavior over there. That's what me and Kai do most of the time when we're together. We just mug each other off in the best way possible.
As well as making business moves. Come on, keep it real.
Always.
But shout out to Mr. Benson. Shout out to Kura Kura Beer, first sponsor of the Kaizai episode podcast.
It's a monumental moment.
Kaizai, 10% off all beer cans, 20% off Kaizai on the brewery tour. Check it out. Link in description. Thank you, Mr. Benson. It's been an amazing episode. Cheers, and you mate. Will be back on very soon because we can go over it on some a lot more things that we didn't
finish.
Yeah,
for sure.
And yeah, have an amazing 2021, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. We'll give you a minute to do that. All the good stuff. Thank you very
Happy
much.
Happy New Year.
Take care, and we're out.
Derek.